Bruce, first of all, tell me what you do for the company and where you're located.
I'm a agronomy marketing manager located out of Slater, Iowa, out of our product development facility for Syngenta.
Well, when it comes to this issue of maximizing your yield in continuous corn, what can a company like Syngenta offer to growers?
Well, I think it's pretty interesting because there's a lot of information that nobody's really dedicated maybe the abundance of resources to fine-tune managing some of these hybrid-specific recommendations. We've made some general conclusions, you know, this hybrid has a good disease package, those type of things, so it must be good for corn-on-corn. We're devoting a lot of time and effort into testing those and driving some science behind that and trying to improve those, take a 60 or 70% of the time type of correct answer and move it to 70 or 80 or 90% of the time. So,
well, I know we're going to hear from a researcher here who suggests that factors like nitrogen and weather and even if you're going to plant that next corn crop after corn, the amount of seed you apply per acre can all have an impact, but certainly the seed varieties must have a significant impact as well, like you said.
Definitely, yeah. We've seen huge response differences between our hybrids and everything. And under the same exact growing environments, same years, same field, you can have anywhere from a 3 to 4 bushel penalty with one hybrid and another one maybe 20 to 30 bushels. So there's a lot of differences, and the hybrids are individual, unique personalities, just like our kids at home.
So if a grower comes up and asks you, hey, I'm thinking of doing this, what should I do? What would you tell them?
I mean, right now, with the current tools that we have available for them, probably the best information they can get is going to get as much yield information as they can to find the hybrids that are locally adapted to their area. And I think this is going to catch most all situations, and I don't care if the yield information comes from rotated acres or what. If a hybrid's adapted to that area, it's typically going to be probably one of your best choices. We're going to work to try to fine-tune that message on it even a little bit more with some of the tools we have in our agronomic research there with Syngenta, but I think that's a great starting point right there alone. And there's obviously a lot of little micromanaging things that you can do along the way. Those are things we're going to talk about today.
For growers who have a concern about things like volunteer corn and what that can effect that can have, any other kind of specifics and recommendations you'd make in terms of controlling that?
Yeah, we really got a lot of options that we didn't historically have. You know, you go back literally 4 or 5 years, you were limited to cultivating or turn the cattle in to graze those fields that you had a lot of years on the ground. Today, with the technologies we have tools to manage those, but we have to really think through that process. We have to even think about, well, what was our previous crop? If it was corn, that's one thing, but we also have to know, did it have glyphosate tolerance in there the last year, or was it a liberty-tolerant hybrid, or did it have both? And so in those situations where we had both, that makes it even more complex to manage. So what we're seeing with recommendations for our growers is that in those situations, one, they need to decide, okay, what is economic damaging levels there? I mean, so at what point do we stop controlling volunteer corn because it's cosmetic and it looks ugly out there, and when do we start controlling it because it's economically damaging? And a lot of people are shooting for cosmetics first because it's what they see. But when you look at it from the economic management side and our replicated studies that we've looked at, we're finding, you know, roughly if you're getting 1 ear per 5 feet of row, then that's kind of that level where it's starting to get economic at and we need control. 1 ear per 5 feet of row is a lot of corn on the ground, and you know that in the fall when you're driving across those fields. And so from then, you pull that trigger at that point in time and say, okay, I need to manage that most effectively. And so one of the tools that they can grow with right now, if they're growing continuous corn, is they could have a CBLLRW hybrid out there, corn borer tolerance, liberty tolerance, and rootworm protection. And then they could rotate to a 3000 GT that would have corn borer, liberty, rootworm, and glyphosate tolerance. So they can use the glyphosate tolerance technology to clean that up. And then upon cleaning that up, they can always rotate back in the next year to that CBLRW hybrid again and keep growing continuous corn until they have another year where they recognize having a volunteer corn problem. And then when that occurs again, they always have that 3000 GT hybrid to rotate back to as well. So it takes a little bit of forethought to work through that. Now, if you're a grower that's looking for continuous glyphosate tolerance, it may not work in those situations. But it is a management strategy, and it is good to break those modes of action up and use a Liberty program 1 year vice versa with a glyphosate program and those type of things to prevent weed resistance and those issues as well.
Well, I know this was a big topic, especially last season going into this one. How about so far this year, looking ahead? This going to continue to be, do you think, as big an issue as it has been?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you can tell this year alone that there's not as many people kind of rushing in to hear these type of talks. But in general, I think for the long term, commodity prices doing what they are, I think there's going to be a consistent number of farmers that are going to grow continuous corn, and they're still learning how to do that better. And I think it's probably going to become more prevalent even over the next 2 or 3 years. We're in a little bit of a lull this year, but I think with commodity prices the way they are, growing continuous corn is going to become more and more relevant for people who haven't done that traditionally.
Thank you very much, Bruce. Look forward to your presentation here. I'm Chuck Zimmerman reporting.